Fuck you.
No, fuck you.
Nerd off, nerd off, nerd off.
Hello, and welcome to the Nerd Off. I believe this is like episode 5 or 6 or something, man. It's crazy how many, how much nerding off I've been doing. I'm gonna get hair on my palms. I got several people in here. As always, the only non-nerd on the show that just keeps showing up that won't go away. It's Karen. What's up?
How you yes, doing? I am. I keep telling you, I'm like, P. Diddy, take that, take that. I just show up and dance in the background.
So we got Karen. We also have a staple of the show at this point. Chris from the Insanity Check Podcast. What's up, man?
What's going on? What's going on, people?
Chilling. Glad you come nerd off with us. It's going to be a circle nerd today because we got Aaron in the house. What's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, everyone? It's a pleasure being here.
All you have Absolutely. To do... search This Week in Blackness anything, Aaron's probably on it.
Yep.
And then we also have a newcomer to the Nerd Off. It's the homie Sterling, man. What's up, dog?
What's up, man? How y'all doing?
Oh, great. Good. Great. It's good to be nerding off with you, man.
Yeah, man.
This has basically become the week of the Xbox TMI. Just Xbox slowly leaking every possible detail about the, it's like they forgot what E3 is for. It's just like, let me tell you this other thing. So we'll have a lot of Xbox news today. We will definitely have not just a review of BioShock, but BioShock as a complete series, as I have now beaten all the BioShock games within the last month. So I can't wait to talk about that. And we'll of course have general nerdery shit that we gotta talk about. The first thing I'll talk about though is GameStop and their epic fail.
Oh snap.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. GameStop had $10 Injustice games for all the world to see. I saw the announcement the day before. They said, hey, at, I think it was noon, PST. So that's like 9 a.m. here, or no, maybe it's 3 o'clock yeah, or something. So like noon on the East Coast, 3 p.m. on the West Coast, or something like that. And, they were like, here's what we'll do. You guys can get a $10 copy of Injustice. Now, for everybody that has Injustice, it's retailing for about, I don't know, $60.
Yep.
So of course everybody went crazy because it's the one game that all your friends are still talking about that you don't own. If you don't have it, you're at least interested at this point, and you're definitely $10 worth of interested.
Is it the like hard copy or is it a digital copy?
It's the wow. Hard copy. Yeah, the hard copy, dog. So they were like, you know, go to the website tomorrow at high noon or whenever the hell it was. And check it out, you know. So everybody I know was just waiting to get on the internet and do this. I actually got caught up in something at the moment, so I wasn't able to do it anyway, so that's fine. Everybody that I know was like, what's wrong with the GameStop website? It is like my Twitter timeline just became, all right, man, this is my 5th time logging into GameStop. I don't know what the fuck is going on. Is their site down for you? Hey, anybody try to check out and then their shit disappeared on them?
Oh.
So now, did any of you guys try to get Injustice the other day?
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
Okay, how did it work out for you, man?
It didn't at all. I tried. I saw a Phenom Black tweet about it. I tried to go get it. It wasn't on the website anymore. So I called the store, and they were like, yeah, it's not $10 in the store, but if you come to the store, we can order it for you, and you can pick it up here.
Mm.
And, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So, you know, a little bit defeating the purpose of having an online sale.
Yeah.
A little, you know. And
GameStop pretty much was like, yo, we got some free crack, but it's limited only, so... come on, niggas.
First 200 hits. After that, no more.
The first ever online crack sale.
Right.
Like, yeah, we got an online crack giveaway.
Like, I'm not going to lie. I saw that shit yesterday, and the day before it happened, I was like, yeah, this can't end well. And I was just like, okay. And yeah. I didn't even try. Like, I was seeing Phenom's live tweets of the struggle he had, and I just said,
I think my subconscious hit me and said, that's not gonna happen. Go to sleep. Cause I just like woke up at like 5 or something. I was like, oh shit, that sale. And then I went and looked at everybody's, at my timeline on Twitter. It was full of just like, fuck GameStop, man. I can't believe they pulled this shit. Amazon would have got it right.
You know what happened? The most popular IT dude in GameStop, the corporation got fired for no reason. And everyone loved him. So they were like, you know what? We need Ray. Let's sell how much we need Ray. And they were like, all right, we're going to have the most popular game in America sell for $10 only online. And let's watch the site just collapse under the weight of all the people that hit it at the same time. Then they're gonna miss Ray because they fucked over Ray. they went and it's for Ray and IT. They got fired for no reason. They just wanted to watch GameStop the site collapse and then laugh. And they're probably asking them back right now.
I just want to know who at corporate thought that wasn't gonna kill their servers, because yes. GameStop servers are not known for like a huge volume of people, and it's like literally it is like the most popular game that's been out for a minute that everybody talks about, that everybody still wants, and you're selling it not for like half off, you're selling that bitch for $10. Like that was basically like an early Black Friday sale, yes, at Walmart, where they're selling like a 55 inch TV for $5, and then they wonder why did everybody act like idiots and trample over, well, because you were selling a TV for $5 and you had no security. It's like, like what do you think was going to happen? That's like your normal, everyday, like, grandmother will fucking stab and shank somebody for a $5, 55-inch TV. Ah. And that's basically what happened with, you know, gamers on, you know, most gamers wouldn't buy a game from GameStop, but $10? Shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you guys see the... who got the $20 deal from eBay? That at least went a little bit better.
Oh, no, man. Nobody told me about that. What was the $20 deal?
So somebody put out every now and then they have those eBay deals, and somebody put out a link to a deal that was like it was buy.com on eBay was selling an Xbox Live subscription $20 cards for a year.
Oh, wow. That's a deal.
You know, yeah. And a lot of people probably think, well, I wouldn't get one because the new systems are coming out, but you're probably going to keep your old system for one, and then two, a lot of people aren't going to get it on launch day. So, you know, that's more free Xbox Live.
Right.
Yeah.
And haven't they even said that it's going to be a different, like, completely different Xbox Live subscription?
They haven't yet, and I'm surprised.
Right. I mean, I'm assuming that they will, but, yeah. You know.
I mean, I was going to say, I'm surprised we haven't heard it yet because they've been leaking secrets like the NSA, dude.
But that's the one thing that I've been surprised by, these people and gamers complaining. I'm like, has anybody really thought of, well, do you need another Xbox Live subscription? Like, that's the one thing nobody's ever, like, brought up in this whole thing. I'm like, that's actually what I give a fuck about, because I have mine now paid out for another 2 years. So
I think we do, too.
Right. Mm-hmm. So what happens with that? Can I roll that shit over? Like, nobody's talking about that shit, though.
I think they will, just because I know folks that were on Xbox Live when it was on the original Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
And they came over to the Xbox 360 and everything got, you know, stayed the same. I think they just had to pay more, like, you know, like when the rates went up and stuff.
Right.
But I don't think there's no way they can get rid of the gamer tags and shit. Like, our accounts have to move over to the Xbox One.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. So, another thing that, quick gaming news. LeBron James is going to be on the cover of NBA 2K14.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually got excited about wanting to get the game, like it's not gonna be the same game as last year with new rosters, because I saw LeBron James. I don't know why that worked, but I was just like, ooh, LeBron James is on the cover. It's like, it could be someone else, but that's just a quick one. I don't know if anyone has anything to say about that, but
there's not a Madden curse with that shit, is there?
Nah.
Okay, cool. Alright. Yeah. That's cool. Then in that case, I'm happy for him.
And also, really good commercial reveal. Like, it was a nice little commercial. I guess most underrated part of this news, not coming to the Wii U.
Nope.
So, is that shocking? Not to me.
It could be Xbox versus PlayStation.
I don't
want to
see no bobbleheads.
Say what, Karen?
No bobbleheads. I'm just going to get on the Wii. Some bobbleheads bouncing around.
Yeah. It's like, you know, as much debate as there's been about Xbox versus PlayStation, it seems like no one's treating the Wii U as a serious contender in any shape, form, or fashion.
Because it's not.
Not even publishers. So.
It's not. It's It's designed for children. Your market is for children. You're not, you have not shown to be serious about real hardcore gamers except for the gamers that are in love with Mario and in love with Zelda. You got those handful of people eating at the palm of your hands. But anybody that's like a real video gamer is just not going to fall for that shit. Yeah. You pay, what is it, Resident Evil to do that? It was the game of the year, but nobody fucking played it.
Yeah, I actually looked for Wii U news this week and Nintendo news, because I feel like we become very Xbox PlayStation centric, and I couldn't find any except that Zelda will have, and it said something like surprising gameplay elements.
That's
like a quote, like that was really like Zelda to have surprising gameplay elements. I was
it's
like
it's gonna be fun.
Yeah, to possibly be a good game this time.
But, oh, you know what?
You know, the thing about Nintendo and the Wii, when the Wii started off good, it's like everybody's like, oh, I'm gonna get a Wii. You know what killed it for the Wii, though, and Nintendo? When they started saying, yeah, your grandmother can play it.
Yeah.
I don't want
that's
that.
Actually, no. Not what people want. And it was funny. No. What's funny though is like I don't think they put out bad Zelda games. Like I was joking earlier, but
no, Zelda's always good.
But that if that's your big E3 thing is, hey man, it might have some different elements to play with this time. It's like that doesn't bode well. So
no, it doesn't. And for me, I love Zelda. I'm a huge Zelda fan, but I have not played Zelda in years because I refuse to buy any Nintendo system, and the Zelda that I want has been out for a year and a half, and that shit's still $75. I mean, I refuse to pay that because your games don't drop in price. So I end up spending an arm and a leg. Yeah, I get the system for $25, but if none of your games have dropped, it doesn't make a difference. And to me, the problem I have with Nintendo is it is a complete money grab. It's like y'all are not making real entertainment systems for real gamers, and children are gamers too, but for some reason they want to paint this pink, this pretty shit. And even kids are like, you know what, nah mama, I don't want that, I want an Xbox or a PlayStation.
Mm-hmm. All right, another thing, this is kind of nerd related because the movie The Internship is about working at Google. Is it me, or does the premise for The Internship seems like it was written in like 2001, and then it just took 12 years to get this movie made? Because
she looked terrible.
It's not just that, but it really relies on your audience to be like, what is this internet that you speak of? A computer? And I feel like that shit's gonna be whack, and I'm not gonna support it, man. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if you guys saw the trailers for these, but.
Go ahead,
Sterling.
It just seems like you're really about to sit here and watch a 2-hour movie and niggas trying to get a job.
But they're white people instead.
Exactly. So it's even easier. There's no thrill now. I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead, Chris.
We were supposed to get a screener for that. Actually, we did get the screener for, I think it was on Tuesday. And I had a trade between really bad choices, but between The Purge and Internship, and actually the Internship was closer, and I was still like, nah, I'll go see Purge.
Right.
Just like,
yeah, it just,
I was like, I'll drive longer.
Every joke in there is like from 1998. It's like, do you actually have to help people with their when they do customer service for email? It's like teaching a new language, and guys like, it's like teaching a letter to a child or something. And I was like, that joke is like teaching a letter to a child. Like, no one is going, oh, look how savvy and witty this comedy is. You're just going, old people don't get the internet. Got it. More movie news. Josh Whedon won't make Avengers 2 without Robert Downey Jr. Duh.
Oh, dear.
Of course. That, I don't blame him.
They have to pay the franchise player. They're going to have to give him his money. That's a shame.
No, you know what? Can I just say that? And I talked about this on my show. I'm really glad. This is why I like Robert Downey Jr. and Joss Whedon. Because I'm like, and I shit on DC and what they've been doing with their movies and trying to get the Justice League together. I've been shitting on Fox. But the one thing I'll shit on Marvel Studios for is those motherfuckers are cheap as shit. Those are some cheap-ass motherfuckers. And the idea that they have to go through, you know, that Joss Whedon have to come out and say this shit to back Robert Downey Jr. in trying to make sure that everybody else gets paid is fucking absurd.
Yep. It really is.
I feel like personally, if someone, if an individual made me $1 billion, I would take great joy in giving them a paycheck.
Exactly.
Well, you know the crazy thing about it is, Marvel, they made $1 billion and Marvel comes out, yeah, well, we just broke even. Fuck you. Mm. Fuck you. Don't do that shit. Fuck you.
It's also why I really like Hugh Jackman is, he actually likes being Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't imagine a time when I was a kid that a leading man who could actually go do other shit would be like, no, but I really want to be in a superhero movie over and over again.
Well, that's the crazy.
Yeah. It's a Hugh Jackman at tap dancing practice playing the piano. They're like, we need you to be Wolverine. He goes, yes!
Right.
That's the crazy.
Go ahead, Chris.
No, I was going to say, that's the crazy thing now with these movies being good and making money. That now, like, you watch these upcoming, like, for Justice League and for, you know, Avengers 2, you have actually actors and actresses out here, like, campaigning to play a superhero. Mm-hmm. Whereas before it was like, well, would you want to play a superhero? No, I don't want to be that. I'd never do that shit. Now they're like, oh, no, I want to be Wonder Woman. Or I want to be Black Panther. Like, the number, like, every black male in between the ages of 18 and 45 wants to play T'Challa in Avengers at some point. They want that Marvel contract at some point, yo. Yeah. It's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, and I think it's more of now is viewed differently. They actually do it good, and it's guaranteed money, and you can guarantee you're at least getting 2 to 3 or more movies out of it. So it's like, okay, I have almost like a guaranteed job for the next X amount of years.
And I feel like Robert Downey Jr. is actually putting pressure on Marvel to continue to have a high level of quality with his movies. Mm-hmm. By saying, like, people always get mad, but when he goes, yeah, I'm not doing this again, and, you know, unless everything's completely correct. And people go, oh no, Robert Downey Jr., man, you have to be Tony Stark. But he's capitalizing on that leverage because that's what's going to keep, Avengers 2 from sucking.
Right.
Yes.
Did you hear the Guardians of the Galaxy casting news?
No, what is that?
So they've cast Glenn Close.
Oh, okay.
And they got Benicio del Toro.
Oh, I didn't know about Benicio del Toro.
Yeah.
What do they know what he's gonna be or just?
Yeah, I can't remember the guy. Okay. They're rumoring him to be, but
By the way, Guardians of the Galaxy sounds like the most ambitious, risky project ever. It really is a franchise that I've never really heard anyone rave over. And then when people start describing it to me, it's like ridiculous. Like, yeah, it's a talking raccoon with a Gatling gun. It's like,
what?
That's going to be in a movie.
What is this, Alice in Wonderland? I don't understand.
I'm sorry to be black militant dragon.
Go ahead, my brother.
Wakanda is a problem though. Wakanda. Super Africa, mm-hmm. Major issue. I think that
quote from Marvel was taken completely out of context from them. I don't think the truth of the matter is, because everybody keeps pushing them for Black Panther, I think that they're not ready to do the movie. They don't have, it's not in their set to put him in the movie right now, and everybody wants it right now, but they're just not ready to do it. And so they keep saying, we're not ready to do it yet. It's gonna happen. It's in production. They're gonna be doing it. They're just not ready to make that part of their universe. And I think it's just not, people aren't satisfied with them not moving quickly enough on it. Because they've been talking about a Black Panther movie for, what, two decades now? Mm-hmm. So I think that's the problem. I don't think that they're like, well, we're never going to do it. They want to do it. Clearly they want to do it.
The only thing that could be worse than not having a Black Panther movie when I want it is it sucking.
Right. Now, like, that's what scares them the most. Like, I totally understand where they came from when they said, yeah, it's more difficult. Yeah, it's more difficult because you're doing an all-black character in an all-black setting, and if we fuck this up, black people will fucking hate us.
Yeah, we will.
And I was like, you know what? They can't say it like that, but I totally understood what they said. I completely agree. I was like, you know what? Take your time, guys.
Yeah. I'll say this. It's a valid reason to get it right. I'll say that much, because if you want to lose my fanhood, fuck up Black Panther. Like, there's a lot of shit I've forgiven of a lot of movies over the decades and a lot of Hollywood shit, but I definitely don't want to be seeing some Tyrese B. T'Challa type shit, because
oh, hell no.
I'm throwing chairs.
No.
Right.
No. Like, I remember when Morris Chestnut was saying some shit about how got a rule from the Black Panther, and niggas was like, are you serious? Is Marvel's fucking serious?
Right, don't play like this, man.
Right. And so I look at the reaction to just the random black people saying that they want to be in the movie, and I see the reaction from the community, and I'm just like, you know, if I'm Marvel, I don't touch this movie for like another 10 years, man. Yeah. Because that movie, that's worse than Guardians of the Galaxy. You fuck up Guardians of the Galaxy, people are just like, well, it had a talking raccoon in it.
Yeah.
You know, you fuck up Black Panther, and it's just like, these fucking racist motherfuckers.
Oh, my God.
That's true. They wouldn't be allowed passage into Brooklyn if they fucked up the movie.
Oh, my God.
across my lands,
they wouldn't be allowed to take passage. So, like I said, I give them a lot of leeway with Black Panther. I want to see it, too, but I totally understand why they won't touch it right now.
And some of this stuff gives me hope because, like, Luke Cage, me and The Rock, was one of those, like, okay, I can see that. He's a actor that has good charisma and shit like that, and I want to see him on screen portraying Luke Cage, and like some like there's moments where you're like, okay, they're not just asleep at the wheel. Mm-hmm. You know, they do want their shit to be good. It could be worse.
I mean, they got Anthony Mackie playing the Falcon in Captain mm-hmm. America 2.
Yep.
I mean, Marvel cast some really good people. I mean, if that's one thing you can put above Marvel and everybody else, they know they're casting. They might not get the movies 100% right, but they'll cast them up. They'll cast like a motherfucker.
That's a good point. Yeah. Sterling, were you trying to say something earlier and got cut off, man?
No. Okay. I'm not into comic books that much, so I'm just waiting for the movie.
Okay, cool. I just wanted to make sure. But yeah, I thought that was, pretty cool. Other superhero news. Man of Steel. Hold on, I'm getting an echo from somebody. Let me see. That might be Chris. Let me see if I can hang up and call you right back, Chris. Hold on, let me check. 1-2-1-2. Oh, it's gone. All right, never mind. Cool. Well, Man of Steel, apparently there was a tornado scene in it.
Oh, yes. I was going to talk about this tomorrow.
And because of the Oklahoma actual tornadoes that came through,
mm-hmm.
there was talk of taking the Superman fighting a tornado scene out of the movie.
Wow.
I have a question. Does he beat the tornado, right? He beats the tornado. It doesn't kill him, right?
I'm assuming he beats the tornado.
And why wouldn't that be in the... You realize, as a New Yorker, if they shot a scene where 9/11 happened and one of the buildings turned into Metroplex and shot down the other plane and saved itself, I would love that shit. I don't know what's wrong if you Superman stopping or an atrocity that happened in your city is actually kind of cool. I don't know what... Why would you?
Yeah, that makes sense. It's not like Superman turned into the tornado.
Right. if it kills Superman and destroys Metropolis and the movie's 17 minutes long, then you're right. That shouldn't be in the film. It's a little too soon.
You know what? This is like my beef with when they do this kind of, when they say this kind of stuff. It's like studios become so sensitive to offending somebody with some stupid shit like this that they'll have a finished film that has a scene like this in it, and then something will happen, and they'll try to go, like, this is what they did with Gangster Squad. They took out that scene with the theater shooting. The film was finished. I'm like, it's not in bad taste if you had already taken care of this, and something outside of your control happens to be similar to this. You don't need to change your movie for that. If now, after that theater scene shit happened, you go, wow, that would be pretty cool, and you pull a Michael Bay and try to add that shit in afterwards and add a fucking scene in there for that, yeah, now, insensitive. Like, I wish that they would, like, I love the fact that they didn't change this. Like, yeah. That's awesome.
Now, according to Zack Snyder, he said there were never even talks about cutting it out. So, this awesome. Is mostly a, you know, mm-hmm. internet or fan-created, like, oh, I saw that trailer, and it has tornadoes in it. Shouldn't they just stop? Isn't this not the time? And that's the other thing, too. I think a lot of people have no idea how much work and planning goes into a movie.
No, they don't.
And that you can't just be like, well, you know, one day there might be a tornado and our movie might come out around that time. And on mm-hmm. the off chance that there's a horrific event, we need to be prepared to have another scene to put into the Superman movie to replace the tornado scene.
No, the problem.
2 weeks before it comes out.
Yeah, even up to 2 weeks. Yeah, like while it's in the can, we take it out of the can, splice in the shit that we want to. It's like. I just don't think people have any like recollection of how hard it is to make a movie.
Now, the problem I have, you live on motherfucking Tornado Alley Lane down the street around the corner. This is where you live, okay? Tornadoes come there. They happen all the time. And it's not being insensitive, but that's just real. And people have made movies. There was a whole movie about tornadoes. What was it, Twister, whatever that is, years ago. Yeah. And nobody protested and said, no, we can't have this because this is about tornadoes. Fuck you.
Yeah. So
it's like when people, it's like when the theater shooting happened at the premiere of The Dark Knight Rises. People were like, "Well, is this movie too violent? Fuck you."
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sometimes you just have to be like that. You either watch the movie or you don't.
Right. Fuck you.
Another quick hit. Dan Harmon is returning to Community.
Yep.
So I'm actually excited because I like Community and I feel like it really took a turn for the worse last year without him writing. Some episodes are still good, you know, don't get me wrong. I enjoyed a few of them, but
it wasn't like it was before.
Yeah, yeah. The fastball was gone and you could just see that they were like, how do we get this syndication? 100 episodes? Is that it? So, and I don't know why they decided to give it another shot because they fired him like unceremoniously. Like, it was really on some like, oh, anybody know why my key's not working in my office? You know?
Oh, they fired him on his day off like you?
Yeah, yeah, he got laid off like me. And he tried to tweet through it and all this shit, but apparently, man, they must have coughed up some money or something, because he's back.
Ratings drop.
Maybe it was the, I don't think it was the ratings though, because it wouldn't make sense, because they would have been like, well, we don't care about the ratings drop because we're just about to package this for syndication.
Okay.
So it must have been maybe the ratings were good or something. Like, it had to be some reason the studio was like, okay, oh, let's order more of these and increase the quality of the episodes again.
What's missing here? You're missing. Come back.
Now, there is one other possibility that is also very likely that I haven't addressed, which is that Dan Harmon might be an asshole.
Yeah, that's a good possibility.
You know?
But he's a creative asshole, so I'm not mad.
Right. He might be really, really good at his job, but a complete dick and everybody needed a break
and very difficult to work with.
I hear he's a perfectionist, so but he back, so you know, good
him and some characters too, because remember when Dan Harmon left, certain characters walked out too, like John Oliver's character left.
Yeah.
And the dude that played Starburns,
yeah,
he left, and like, you know, because like he's like best friends with Dan Harmon, so he was like, well, Dan Harmon's going, I guess my character's dead now.
They even said they were gonna they even had those issues with Chevy Chase and shit, and like actors are doing interviews and like leaking, like, you know, Chevy Chase says the N-word on the screen sometimes. It's not comfortable in there for anyone. It's like, wow, that seems like that wouldn't happen if you thought there were going to be another season of the show. Seems like you would have kept that to yourself, man. But, yeah, so Dan Harmon's back, man. And for people that don't watch, Community, you should, if you, especially if you're a nerd, man. It's one of the few like mainstream sitcom-y type shows that is actually super duper intelligent, and they'll just do like a episode on like multi-dimensional like theory or space and time travel or something like that, but it's just a concept within a concept. It's like extremely meta, but I didn't find it pretentious or preachy for the most part. It was just fun, and especially if you love movies, you should watch Community, because they do so many episodes that are like an ode to a certain genre of movie, where it's like, oh, the old western shootout, let's do that this episode, or why don't we do a Call of Duty style shooting game, like game, but it's, you know, video game. They actually did an 8-bit video game episode of the show. So people that are into gaming, into nerd culture, Community's very, you know, it's a nerd show, man, in case you're on the fence. And also a nerd show that just came back this week, Venture Brothers. I don't know.
That's your show.
Yeah.
Aaron, you watch Venture Bros, man?
Of course, that was my favorite show for a while, and then it took it off the air. And I actually removed cable So now, and then they put it on Netflix, but they only put on the first season, as Cartoon Network is known to do, put on 5 episodes of a show everyone wants to see on Netflix. So.
Yeah. Yeah, man, I didn't know anybody else was really into it, man, because whenever I talk about it, I normally don't get any retweets. No one hits me up like, oh, I'm watching it too, but I love that show. And I grew up on Johnny Quest when I was a kid, because my dad would watch Johnny Quest, and then later I realized how racist that show was, but when I was a kid though, I just liked it. I was just like, oh, they're going on adventures and there's all this sci-fi shit, and then it's like Venture Brothers takes all of that stuff we grew up with, like, and just completely roast it. Like,
yeah,
it's so, like, there's an episode where Johnny Quest is an adult and he's like strung out on heroin. He's like, he never really was raised properly because he didn't have he didn't really have parental figures that took care of him. They just took him to dangerous places. So he was like spazzing out, freaking out all the time. Like, I've seen some shit, man. And like it was really good, man. And they do that constantly, man. You know,
my favorite thing is when I was an angsty 20-year-old, I used to tell people, this superhero stuff isn't sustainable. There's no way you can be like the children of the Fantastic Four are going to be fuck-ups. There's no way you can keep this going for generations and generations. Adventure Brothers proves my point.
Yep.
You can only get one good generation of superheroes and you're fucking up.
Yeah.
And that's good. That's why I love that show. Everybody's fucked up. The kids are stupid.
Yep.
They're egotistical. They mismanage their money. They got, man, I love that show. It's
like, that one
generation of the X-Men. Only one.
That one season that ends with the kids dying.
Oh, man.
Yes.
And then they start the next season, and you're like, oh, man, what are they going to do about Dean and
Hank?
What'd you say?
It's Hank, right?
Yeah, Dean and Hank dying. And then they're like, it's like, oh, these motherfuckers die all the time. We have clones of them because this is way too fucking dangerous to have real children doing. It's like, that makes sense. You would need clones because you have villains trying to kill you every day on your doorstep, and then you have kids going to school in the middle of this.
I've never watched it. I'm listening to you guys talk about it. I gotta watch it now because that sounds fucking hilarious.
Don't get too into it. There's only one season on Netflix because,
it's so Cartoon Network, man.
Right. Cartoon Network is like the really is like the first hit's free, y'all. Get you some Venture Brothers, and that's enough. You call me. Call me when you want the DVD box set. Bye. But yeah, it's really good, man. If you're, especially if you're like kind of sci-fi nerd, but if you, like, they kind of do a satire of a lot of stuff we grew up with. Like, there's a whole, like, G.I. Joe, like, type of spoof on some of the characters. There's, like, a whole lot of jokes about villainy and villains in general. Like, what their motivations are. How do they team up? Why, like, they have a group that's like the, League of Calamitous Intent or some shit. And you have to like go through all these different stages to become a supervillain. But it's just so funny to listen to, like, I'm, Captain Anarchy, and I'm going to kill this motherfucker. And it's like, okay, well, sign here and here. Okay. After 1 year, you will earn the right to pick your, person that you're going to arch. But, first year we pick, and you're going to start off with Snake Man. shit like that. You're just like, oh, this paperwork. It's great, man. Check it out.
You have to file to be an arch nemesis, right?
Yes.
It's like getting married. Yeah, forgot about that. You have to file, and you have to ask the other person, and they have to want you to be their nemesis, or else you're not going to have an enemy.
Yes.
Forgot about that. Yeah.
So good, man.
So good. Yeah, that sounds hilarious, man.
Yeah, so, yeah, check it out, guys. All right, the NSA apparently is getting in trouble for looking at everybody's information. I haven't followed this too closely, but I do have a conspiracy theory on it, and I'm going to run it by all my nerd people.
Uh-oh.
Hey, man, do you think, because I was looking at so much of this shit, it's like they got all of Verizon's phone records. And then later on, it's like, and then also they're looking at everybody's data from this, and they're checking out these things, and they got your emails. They got everything, everybody. They just took everything, all the data. The NSA has it right now, and they can't look at all of it, but they have it all. And I was wondering, do y'all think that like China or somebody's already in our internet? And, it seems like we're just trying to catch somebody. Like, we don't know what we're doing. We don't know what we're looking for. but the NSA is just like, take everything and maybe we'll find something. Since they're not specifically targeting just certain areas, they're just like, get as much data as we possibly can gather. I wonder if like the next terrorist thing or the next attack will just be like cyber shit. Not even like we blew up a city, but just like we shut down the power grid in this place for how many days just because we can do that shit.
Well, that's actually the thing that nobody really talks about when we talk about terrorism. You hear, every now and then you'll hear about an article here or there, and it'll get blown over. But it actually is happening now. Like, the number of times China or Chinese hackers have attacked like our defense grid and things like that is alarming. If you really look into it and do the Googles, it's alarming how many times you'll find that this is happening. And the Pentagon, the NSA, they've always said that, yeah, that's actually the number one thing we're worried about is the online cyber attacks, because we've been behind on this and we've been fighting this for so long. It's been a war going on, an undercover war with China going on with this shit for at least like a decade or more. Like, it's been happening. Just nobody talks about it.
Yeah. They said, I think a couple days ago, that Chinese hackers hacked into President Obama's campaign back in 2008 on election night.
Yeah.
And like found shit like,
oh, it was hackers got a whole bunch of defense plans. It was like a week or so ago. They got plans for like the F-22 and a bunch of other stuff. Yeah, that shit happened like a couple weeks ago. Yeah, this shit's happening, man. Just nobody talks about it.
Yeah.
It just kind of reminds me of like cop movies and shit where they're like, they're using some type of code on their cell phones and they just walk in like, give me all the cell phones. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, they're only probably using three. We need them all. We don't know what the fuck we are looking for yet.
Yes, that, and my thing is this. Yeah, we are in America, but the government has been looking at everything we've been motherfucking doing for years. Why are people shocked and surprised that they shit is being monitored? You've always been monitored anyway. You just think you had the freedom to do what the fuck you wanted to do with your information, but they have always been watching your ass.
I actually just thank the president for actually getting a cool order this time, because Bush wasn't.
No, he was not.
People only think that I hated Bush for violent or something. No, I hated him for being a dick about it. Like, dude, I know you are looking at our shit. I know you're doing this shit. It's okay. But at least pretend. Like, that Pfizer court will give you a court order just because you said, hi, I'm the president. They'll do it. So, dude, don't tell me you can't go to them to get a quote-unquote court order. Just follow the steps. That's all.
Yeah,
I was also a big proponent of... a lot of people, you know, they may have heard this already on the Blackout Tips, but, you know, I'm a big proponent of all the evil shit that the government does pretty much. So it's like torturing people, drones, any type of illegal surveillance. I'm pretty much a fan of all that shit. I'm just not a fan of anyone ever talking about it or acknowledging it. Like, just be evil and never fucking tell anyone. Do what you have to, cause I'm not in that office. And I'm pretty sure everyone outside of the Oval Office, outside of the Pentagon, all this shit, we get to have our theories and shit, but I'm pretty sure the first day you walk in the room, they tell you a bunch of shit that is completely fucked up that you cannot undo. And then they're like, here are the ways we combat it currently. You can tell us to stop these things, but you're just putting us all at risk. And it's up to you to have the balls. It's up to that part. It's up to the president or whoever to be like, you know what? I campaigned on hell open change and I'm going to stick with it, or be like, just do that shit, guys.
Yeah, that's the funny thing. That's what Obama said. He was like, listen, I was against this stuff, but then I got in here and they started telling me the shit was happening. Yeah, we got to keep this shit. Like, he actually said, that shit.
How can we live in America as a focal point of the hatred of numerous countries? And I think that there's no, that what do they have to do? Whatever they have, whatever metrics they have to take to keep us secure. I mean, frankly, the government does not care about you individually. What they're doing is they're taking metrics. So if 5,000 people in New York call California and the one dude calls Yemen, they just want to check. They're just like, oh, sure. All right, cool. All right. You would just call on your wife. Okay, cool. And then like, he calls back all of a sudden, like Yemen calls 1 minute and they go back and forth 5 times in a month. And then does it happen again? We're like, oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't understand why the United States isn't allowed to take metrics on its own stuff when people are trying to actively blow us up. There are people that dislike it. They just did it.
Right.
There was just a marathon where they just blew us up. So right. then, go on.
Yeah, and then you find them in 12 hours, and people are going like, wow, off of cell phone photos. I wonder how that happened.
You want to know what's crazy, Chris? I said it on the show. I think I might even, when I called Black It Up, I might even said it, but I was like, I'm more, forget even the bombing, forget the marathon, forget all that shit. The government turned off cell phones for a day.
They shut that shit down.
And then
with a light switch.
With a switch, and then just went to people's houses and were like, no one goes to work. We're just coming to your house and gonna be like, is a terrorist in here? No? Okay, we'll talk to you guys later. Keep watching TV. Like, that to me is amazing. And that is like, and I was like, it's already over, dog. Like, they had fucking military style, like tank truck things that hold troops and shit. Within a couple hours in Boston, it was just like, okay, now bring in 27 containers of troops and all the ammo we can muster. Then they had fucking special grenades that sound like gunshots. Like, fuck it, man. It's over. I get people's, like, I understand why people, there should always be people arguing for, like, freedom and not being civil. I get it. And I thank you. You're a better person than me. But as far as I'm concerned, this shit over, man. Like, just, they got my cell phone records. Like, you just gotta hope that there's not either a dickhead with a grudge against specifically you or misunderstanding. That's pretty much where we're at now.
Well, the thing I find funny about the complaints about this shit is we only care when something like this happens. Mm-hmm. Like first of all, the prison program, this was known about for a while ago. Like, the fact that the media is breaking this, like, breaking news, I'm like, they've been doing this. What the fuck are you guys talking about? Like, we've known about the prison program for a while now. But not only that, it's just funny, like, when we decide to care. Like, people forget. The Pentagon, like, I think it was John McCain, went to the Pentagon, was like, listen, at a congressional hearing, was like, so this money you guys are spending on this self-helicopter. They're like, oh, no, we don't got a self-helicopter. You guys sure? No. We're not doing that anymore. We scrapped that program. We're saving that money somewhere else. Not using that, right? Then Osama bin Laden dies, and we're like, hey, what's that that's down there? Oh yeah, there was a stealth helicopter. But you guys said you didn't have a stealth helicopter. Yeah, we lied.
Yeah, I was talking to someone about the movie Zero Dark Thirty the other day, and I was like, as a matter of fact, I think it was on the NSA thing we were discussing. And I was like, I expect the government to be shady because that's how I would be if I ran the government. And I was like, have you seen Zero Dark Thirty? He's like, yeah. I was like, you do realize we just have two secret helicopters that we made and then decided to put up, like, just in case one day we got to go kill Osama bin Laden. We got Osama bin Laden killing helicopters and crashed one. And it was fine. Nobody was like, why do we have secret helicopters? Everybody was just like, okay.
Y'all killed his ass.
Did we get him? Okay. Yeah, thank you.
I want there to be an infomercial with just one military dude, just to look at all of us, like take over all the channels, YouTube, everything, and be like, "Listen, Americans, why the fuck do you think you are owed military secrets with your dumb asses? Someone tell me right now, talk at the screen. I'm listening. All of you, talk. Why the fuck do we need to tell you about anything? We're trying to protect you guys, and you guys can keep being stupid."
Exactly.
And then he can, like, truth. And the thing is, like, his technology would be so good that he can hear us through our TVs, and he'll be like you, John Smith in Oklahoma. I heard what you said, and let me tell you why that's stupid.
Wait a minute, I didn't even say that. You're like, no. Last night we were talking to your wife.
Yeah. You were texting someone just now, John. We got the text. And it's not stupid. You need to pay more attention. But
I used to work in the defense industry, and I love military tech, and I used to follow the stuff like the Area 51 stuff and stuff like that. The crazy thing about that is there's an ongoing theory that the whole Roswell crash and things like that, it wasn't really an alien spacecraft. It was military technology. But the government were just like, hey, these morons think it was aliens.
Right.
Well, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, keep telling them it's aliens, and then what they did was they actually moved the stuff from Area 51 to another site. So now alien enthusiasts go to look for alien technology at Area 51. They're like, yeah, we're not even over there no more, yo.
Right.
It's just,
They actually might be back there. They're that smart. Right. Like, that's how smart they are. They're like, now move everything back.
Right. It's a good possibility. Like, I remember, back, I think, in World War II, they were talking about when they first made the first actual fighter jet, like, you know, with a jet engine, not like the propellers. Mm-hmm. When they were testing those, they put pilots inside of werewolf costumes. So mm-hmm. if a normal pilot was flying and saw one of the jet engines, nobody would believe you because mm-hmm. you'd be like, all right, I saw this flying. Well, who was flying it? A werewolf. Okay, shut the fuck up and put him in an insane asylum.
Right.
Like, dude, it's fucking brilliant. When you, like I said, this is when I used to love watching the History Channel because you have all this declassified stuff. Like, for instance, when the F-117 and the stealth fighter and then the B-2 were unveiled, people were like, yeah, they did a big unveil. I was like, they've been flying that shit for like 10 years now, and they've had it, they've been developing it, and people were just like, oh, this is awesome. Wait a minute, when did we develop stealth technology?
Right.
Wait a minute, you mean to tell me this huge-ass plane has a radar cross-section of a fucking bird? When the fuck did this shit happen? It's amazing what they can do.
And by the Chris, and by the time they tell you that, it's because they got other shit.
Of course.
That's why it's like they unveiled that shit when the drones was out. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah. It's like Jay-Z telling you about a watch. It's like, if it's in a verse, he off of it already.
That's why it's crazy when people are just like, yeah, you know, 9/11 was an inside job. No, it wasn't. Why? Because you guys figured this shit out. Good shit out. Trust me, the government was behind it. Because when they really want to keep some shit secret, like them fucking stealth helicopters, that we, by the way, we still don't know shit about. This bitch crashed. And the most well-known SEAL Team 6 operation in the world.
Yeah.
It crashed. They brought the other one back. We still don't know shit about this stuff, helicopter shit, yo.
Right. And then we destroyed it.
We destroyed one of them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying, like, the one that crashed, Pakistan was like, what is about this? What is it about this? It was like, don't worry about that, bro. No. It's already gone. It's already gone.
It's blowing up right now. You go, look at
them
at,
go look at them ashes if you want, mm-hmm. but that ain't gonna help you.
It happened like when the end of Batman Begins, where the dude comes over to try to look at the Batmobile, and the joint just starts firing. It's like, okay, I'm just gonna walk away from that.
Yeah, that shit probably had self-destruct. It was like, oh, blow yourself up, please.
But yeah, and then people are like, well, they just got Verizon, or that's the one that got, it's like, no, that's mm-hmm. the one we know about.
Yep.
Yeah.
They got all our shit. Yeah. If you do your terrorism, you know how you know they got everybody's shit? Because AT&T ain't came out with a do your terrorism over here ad yet.
No, they haven't. And the thing is that I think they had like other people in that they were kind of names that they bought up, and everybody was like, look, they don't have unlimited access, but if they come over here with a court order, we're giving shit up.
Yeah.
So that's what everybody was saying.
Nobody want to be the company that accidentally co-signed terrorism.
No, because they know that customers would have a fucking fit.
Not like the Tea Party don't have enough cell phones to make up for the amount of money you will lose when you go.
That's the truth.
When the government, because the government's just going to come out and be like, hey, we went to Singular and we wanted to try, look at this data, and they said some shit about freedom of speech, and that's why all these people dead. So anyway, shop to Verizon. Like that shit, that everyone's gonna give up the information. I just think people wanna feel a certain way, and you know, I guess.
Well, like I said, it's weird because you see like movies, like I watched a movie, A Body of Lies, or there's a one, other one. You'll see the CIA will be tracking terrorists through their cell phone records and things like this, or using GPS satellites. Hell, the last Die Hard movie had them using a drone illegally in Russia, you know. And you see people go watch these movies and see the U.S. doing some shit like this and be like, oh, this is just a movie. No, nigga, it's not just a movie. They're doing far 10 times fucking worse than real fucking life.
Yeah, if the movie person thought of it, then it's probably, the government's probably already thought of that too. Go ahead, Aaron.
At the exact point when the U.S. just releases a PDF file, 5,000 pages of everything that they've ever done, there'll be a soldier that can go Shazam and turn into a super soldier and fly away and defend.
Right.
Very instant. We're like, oh, we know everything about this. I'm going to go Shazam. And then like five of them. Right.
They're gonna unveil a real life Captain America and shit. Be like, yeah, this is Steve Rogers here, and yeah, he's real.
Yep. Yeah. So yeah, I just threw that out there as it's kind of some nerd shit. Didn't really feel like covering it on the show, but yeah, I feel like NSA is just chasing shit that's already out there, and they probably already got all our shit. So
real quick, I know you got to move on, but look. Mm-hmm. So when I was in college, going in for my one of my scholarships. They actually sent us to the NSA. We actually get to visit the NSA. Let me tell you, just the shit they showed us. Like, dog, there's one thing they had. It was a liquid. You could put your finger in the liquid. You pull your finger out, your finger was dry. And I was like, okay, yeah, I don't need to see anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You're good. Nope.
Whatever. Thanks, guys. Matter of fact, the less I see, the better.
Ain't that the truth?
Like, that place is one of those places where you're just like, okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. They're doing some shit up here I don't need to know about.
You don't
know about it. That's too much responsibility.
Yeah. You don't want to turn around and have spider powers when you get home. Because you took the detour on the trip. They decided to walk into the spider room. Couple things I'm looking forward to that I found out that everybody's looking forward to this weekend. Well, one thing I found out everybody's looking forward to this week, and I had no idea that I wasn't the only one. Pacific Rim.
That comes out
this weekend. Oh, that's
it. No, it comes
out next month.
That's the one with the big ass robots.
Yeah, but this week I haven't really been hearing anyone else talk about it. So I actually just put on the internet, like, I don't know if other people are, maybe I'm just completely overexcited and nobody else, and it could be my bias against, you know, having my bias towards big ass giant robots
like
fighting.
Like Gundams?
Yeah, it could be that. You know, I pretty much watch any anime or cartoon involving big ass robots.
Me too.
But I was like, Pacific Rim is the trailer that gets me the most excited about any movie currently. And this is in a year with Superman and, you know, even with Fast 6. Like, the feeling I have after every time I watch a Pacific Rim trailer is, why can't I be there now watching this?
Ain't that true?
And the last one I saw was like, the container ship sword.
Oh yeah.
Was actually the one before this. The last one I saw was a big ass flying Robeast looking thing that dragged one of the big ass robots into the top of a building and slammed it down. I was like, why can't I be watching this now? So I'm just going to go around and gauge everybody's excitement about this, man. Or, you know, see if I'm out here on the limb. But, Karen, you excited about this?
Hell motherfucking yes. Ever since I seen big ass robots and buildings blowing up and just oversized gigantic Gundam shit, I was like, when can we see this? I'm sad. I still got to wait a few more weeks.
Right. I don't even care about Idris Elba being in it.
Nope.
Jax, the dude that plays Jax from, Sons of Anarchy. They could be blank faces. As far as I'm concerned, all I hear is like, gentlemen, we're going to stop the apocalypse, and big robots slapping something. I'm like, good.
Yes.
Chris, you into this?
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, I'm focused on Man of Steel right now, but after, Tuesday, I'm all about Pacific Rim, yo.
Mm-hmm.
I'm down.
Okay. Yeah, that's like, I don't know. Like, at some point, this jumped over Superman as the movie that could crush my spirit this year. Like, there's like no other movie has any hope in me. Like,
it's because of the giant robots fighting thing. It's like, it's what you wanted from Transformers. And it was like, this might actually fucking happen. And so if it doesn't happen, you're going to be crushed.
I really do feel that way. What about you, Sterling? You excited about this?
Man, I cannot wait. Like, I saw the original trailer a while ago, and that just got me excited. But when the second trailer came out with the cargo ship back, and then they said Guillermo del Toro's directing it, which means we're going to get Guillermo del Toro monsters against these robots. Like, I don't care about nothing else until I see this shit.
Right.
It's so good.
I've actually watched Neon Genesis Evangelion, for people that know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've actually watched that, and like the second half of that series is pretty much unwatchable. It's all emotional crying shit and then like 2 seconds of robot fighting. I watched it all. I don't give a fuck. I'm that excited. Aaron, what about you, man? You into this?
You know how you have a soft spot for black fatherhood?
Yes.
I have a soft spot for movies where things that typically terrorize people, somebody stops giving a fuck, and they spend the whole movie just directly punching that thing in the face back. there are always movies about zombies, and zombies are everyone's like, oh, zombies, my emotions. And there are like monsters, and the kids are like, no, Godzilla. No, someone build a robot and punch the fucking thing back. Someone, please. And they did.
Yes.
I'm all in the theater at midnight. I'm all in there.
The craziest part is that, as you know, absurd as the premise is, I bought the plot in the trailer so hard when he's like, it had happened once and we chalked it up to a natural disaster. Then it happened again and this city was destroyed. Then the third time we realized it wasn't gonna stop and we had to fight back. And then they just cut the Idris being like, today we are canceling the apocalypse. I'm like, let's go! Let's go, Earth! We are going to fucking kill these things.
Right. You're not victims, goddammit.
Can I love it, because it's really like an almost an American trait, even though this is like a worldwide type of deal. When mm-hmm. when you get a movie where they all, is everybody says, hey, listen, instead of just cowering to this enemy, we're going to band together and fight the fuck out of it with some more ridiculous shit that's going to destroy half the Earth anyway.
Yes.
Because we're going to be stomping and destroying cities with giant robots ourselves. Fuck it. We're all in.
Let's yes. go. Like, you fucked with the wrong planet, bitch. And we...
this is a movie that if aliens do exist and they see us, they're like, we can't fuck with these dudes. They're fucking nuts. Like, America's like, the Earthlings will fucking destroy their own Earth before they let us conquer them. So no, I'm not fucking with them, yo.
It's like, you know what, guys? We're peaceful aliens, but let's just, that's a bad neighborhood. Let's just get fuel. Let's get fuel from another galaxy, man. We can make it. These motherfuckers.
No, aliens don't stop at Earth neighborhoods, yo. They're like, no, man, Earth was over there, man. You don't want that shit, yo.
Like, these motherfuckers dream about killing aliens all day.
That's when they get that call, go, where you at? You in Earth? Nah, nigga, we got to leave you out there. We can't come to that side of town.
If you think about it, yo, that's actually true. Like, when you see, like, Star Trek and they're going to a different world that doesn't know anything about aliens, they're not sitting around thinking about killing aliens. But Earthlings do, yo. Like, we don't know aliens exist, but we're like, in case they do, we're gonna kill them motherfuckers.
Right. It really would be like us just making movies constantly about, like, China invading us. It's like every summer there's just a China's gonna invade, we're gonna kill them movie. And we would start thinking it's creepy and obsessive, but throw aliens in there and it's just like, no, it's cool. You know?
I think alien murder can keep your movie PG-13.
No, true. Yeah. That's true. You can.
If you shotgun an alien in the chest, it's all good. Like, Tommy, come on. Tommy,
it's not much blood, so it's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all good.
Turn it green and you straight to go.
The other thing I'm excited about that, and now I really haven't asked anybody else about this, so I have no idea what you guys think, but I'm really excited about the Deadpool game. The potential of good, raunchy ass, talk to the camera Deadpool game has me really excited. I have to give a shout out to the Spider-Man game that I think it's Shattered Dimensions, mm-hmm. that had a really dope Deadpool level that was like, oh, he actually really translates well to video games. Like, if you can add some funny quips in there, have him talk to the camera and make a lot of jokes on other Marvel characters and shit, I'm in. So I don't know if you guys have been seeing the trailer for this or anything. Yeah. Hopefully we get a longer trailer at E3, but anybody excited about Deadpool? I will start with, I'm not going to start with Karen because she would never play this. Nope. But I will start with you, Chris.
Yeah, I've actually been following the development of it since they first did the teaser video of it. So yeah, I'm waiting for this. I probably won't get it day one. Cause I'm waiting to see what everybody says. I don't want to get my hopes too far up, but if it's good, I'm getting it. Cause I fucking love it. Yeah. I love what I see so far.
I need to see a review or a friend that has it.
Exactly.
What about you, Sterling, man? You into Deadpool? I know you say you don't really mess with comic books.
Yeah, like, I don't really fuck with comic books like that, but I saw the trailer maybe back in like February and it sold me. Just Deadpool being a dickhead and putting it in a video game. And it's a $50 video game, not $60.
Oh.
Like, yeah, I pre-ordered it originally with Amazon, but then I'm just going to get it from Gamefly. So I get it the day after it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot wait.
I'm going to be looking at your timeline hard, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm going to be sitting up there waiting for the word where it's like, yo, this game is awesome. Click Amazon. Just go ahead and send that in. Thank you. One click. Yep. What about you, Aaron? You into this at all?
I don't trust anybody to handle Deadpool. And for some reason, Deadpool has so many options that people in creative positions don't know what to do. So I don't trust them, but I mean, High Moon gave us Fall and War for Cybertron, so it's like any good director, we just have to trust them to do what they do best. I'm just gonna lean on that. I'm leaning in that direction. I'm just gonna say that. I trust High Moon.
Yeah, that's what I was really counting on, because I'd never played a good Transformers game until then. Yeah. So, but now I feel like I played two classics.
Yeah. They ruined all the Transformers media for everything, by the way. I literally sold Transformers movies, DVDs, stopped watching cartoons. I just have War for Cybertron, Fall for Cybertron, Transformers. I'm good.
Yeah, it really did retroactively ruin the movies for me, which is a lot. For people that know me, that is saying a lot.
Yes, it is.
I own all three of those Blu-rays, haven't blown the dust off of one of them since I finished the Fall of Cybertron. I was like, oh.
Yeah, the second game, that... The way they did it really shocked me with the second game when they said, like, we're taking out co-op because we know what we're doing. We want to give you a better story experience. And then when you get it, it's like, why? I don't care about the movies. Why didn't you just give me this? Like, that last level blew my fucking mind.
Dude, I played as Jazz, the stereotypical black man voice Jazz, and had Black Pride whooping up on the last level. I was like, oh, it's me, Jazz. I'm showing up. I'm about to kick some ass and get us back in this fight.
Yeah, man.
Dude, if you would have told me that shit was going to happen when I first opened that case, I would have said you a goddamn lie. Mm-hmm. But
I'd say it's the Transformers equivalent of the Avengers, by the way. Mm-hmm. It really is. If it were Transformers, it is exactly that.
That's a great point. Especially that last level where, like, you play as each guy and they're all doing their specialty and then... Every cutscene is like cut away from that dude doing his thing, and you zoom in on the next dude you're gonna control, and he's getting his fight.
Oh, you were playing. I forgot the giant Destructicon or whatever, and Jazz drives between your legs, and the camera cuts to him going between your legs, and then you immediately assume control of Jazz fighting him, who you were just getting him to that point.
Yes. Woo! Hot fire.
Yeah, man.
So yeah, I'm actually looking forward to Deadpool, and that if it lets me down, I'll be upset. Also, for people that don't know, if you guys want a good cheap game that you don't even have to go to the store to get, and you have an Xbox, Sleeping Dogs is half off right now, so it's like $15. It's basically a really specific type of game. It's kind of Grand Theft Auto-y, but you play as an undercover Hong Kong cop, and anybody that likes that genre of movie, which is a genre of movie I watch, is very close to Impossible White Man, but with Asian people.
Mm-hmm. And he be fucking people up. I've never played. I've always seen Roger play. Like, this is the game where it'd be like A, B, left, right, A, B, fry your face in some fire.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd be like, oh, shit, that looks like that kind of hurts.
Well, anybody that is into the Hong Kong action scene, and especially... people who grew up on kung fu movies, these dudes actually appreciate that shit.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of references to like Bruce Lee movies and things of that nature. Like there's a DLC, and all the DLC is half off too. There's an actual DLC where you go and do Enter the Dragon. Like you're basically Bruce Lee's role in Enter the Dragon. You go to an island and all you do is hand-to-hand combat to shut down this syndicate. Like
I didn't know that. Actually, that's actually kind of cool. I actually want to get the game. That's actually really good.
Yeah, dude, they have like the outfit and everything. I bought the game, and this is I don't know if any other publisher has ever done this, but I bought the game and there wasn't any real DLC for it, so I beat the game, and then I was like, all right, that's cool, you know, I had a great time, good game, nice Hong Kong, you know, Jet Li feel. And then like a month later, it's like, we know the game's been out 10 months, but, we're releasing DLC and it's the Bruce Lee DLC. I was like, fuck, I should get it again, but I don't want to spend $30 on a game I just sold. So I was like, I'm not going to do it. And then they released like, and then there's also this, this Halloween style, like fighting ghouls and goblins. And also your girlfriend gets kidnapped by a pack of vampires. There's that, but we're just throwing it out there as to the story, but to take it or leave it. And I was like, well, I guess that's good too, but I don't want that. And then they added like one more. I was like, fuck, man, who does three DLCs like a year after a game's out? I didn't even know you could do that. So I bought it again when everything was half off, man. So if anybody else is out there that looking for something to play for cheap, you probably can get everything, DLC, everything included for like maybe, I don't know, $20. I don't know how Xbox points translate, but I know $15 for the game and then half off all DLC. all right, now let's talk about the news that everybody wants to talk about. Number one, Xbox One rumors and Xbox One truths. They're releasing and confirming information now, man. First things first, the always on internet connectivity thing is a little bit overstated, but somewhat accurate too. Like, it's not completely inaccurate. Basically, you have to have your shit hooked to the internet, and then it checks it once a day, because it's basically checking to make sure you still own all your games and you're not pirating shit and you're not giving anything away. So that's kind of true.
How would it know if you own your games?
Well, because you have to download or install all your games to your hard drive.
Oh.
So it's basically just going through. It's kind of like your iPhone, how you can set your iPhone to update every night at 3 a.m.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of like that, where it's just like the server comes through and goes, is this shit right? Okay.
Oh, so question. Is it going to have enough space for all this downloading? Because I know now you put too much shit on it. It's like, you ain't got enough space.
We'll have, I want to say, is it 500?
It's 500 gigs inside, but you can also expand your storage with any USB hard drive.
Oh, really? Any USB?
Yeah. So you don't got to go to GameStop and pay $130. You can go pay like $150 on Amazon and put a 4 terabyte drive on the back.
Oh, wow. That is, because I noticed that's something they did with the newer Xboxes, where it just has the USB fit thing. But the other shit, man, I remember when I had to buy a new drive for Karen's Xbox, I had to like buy the proprietary shit.
Yeah, that shit was like,
It was expensive, man.
And then I guess for mine, because mine is like an older one. My shit was like 2 games. Nah, your storage is full. And I was like, what the hell is going on? Why can't I put nothing on this?
15 gig, yeah, the 15 gig one, yeah.
I didn't know. I was like, wait a minute, no space, none.
Well, I will give them credit though. It does seem like they've thought ahead a little bit on the idea that we're gonna put everything on the drive. Although you would think maybe even a bigger drive, you know, like.
I would expect at least 1 terabyte.
Yeah.
But I can understand. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I guess for me, if you're going to make it mandatory that I put stuff on there, if I'm an avid and a heavy gamer, my system should come with enough for maybe 60, 70, 80 games or something. Maybe I'm being unrealistic with that number.
Well, I'm wondering if will they do something like. You can delete the game to make more space, but you leave, like, you know how right now if you can delete your game off of your Xbox, but you can leave the saves on there.
Right.
Maybe something like that, where you can delete the game files, but you leave like the code or whatnot that says you own the game, so that you can make more space. And I think there's also the cloud storage stuff too and stuff like that. So I think that there will be a way to do that, Karen, so that you won't have to worry about, you know, damn, I can't play any more games because I can't install this one. There should be a way to take care of that, because I do that all the time now. I'll uninstall a game off my Xbox hard drive, and then I'll just reinstall it later. So I'm hoping that I would think that would be something they got to do here.
Now, another thing I've heard, too, is it checks it once every 24 hours at your home console. Mm-hmm. But if you actually, like, go on another console, log in, you have access to your digital library. But it checks that every hour.
Yeah.
Cause it's not your home console. So, I mean, I don't know. I'll really have to see how it plays out, but it doesn't sound overly inconvenient to me. But I also never like that. I don't expect it to be like, well, it didn't update in the last 72 hours. So we actually just, self-destructed your Xbox or something, which is what I was waiting on. Like, well, maybe that's what everybody's going to be pissed about is like, if it doesn't, it'll turn off in 72 hours. It just won't work or something. I want to know what happens if your shit just doesn't hook up to the internet for like a week. And, what do they do?
And I guess for me, because I don't know enough about pirating video games. I'm like, fuck it. I'll just pay full price so I don't have to deal with that. But apparently there's enough people that bootleg video games and shit like that for them to have to go through this hassle.
Yeah, there is. I mean, like, you know, sometimes I might pirate a movie or two, but I'll see, like, right now I think I saw, like, Skyrim Legendary Edition, which just came out, and I could go download that and hook it up on my Xbox or PS3. You know, like, the Deadpool game is already out online, stuff like that, so it's a big issue, but for me, I don't do it, so I don't care, and it seems like the only people that do care are the people that are doing the illegal shit, and I don't feel sorry for them.
Well, a lot of people also are like, doing it because they're like, it saves money. So it's like, you know, I'm cheap. I don't want to spend a lot of money. But I kind of feel like Xbox and PlayStation probably are gonna be like, we don't want cheap people anymore.
Exactly. Yeah. That's gonna
end up being, like I think this next generation is gonna be the classism of consumerism, where it's just gonna be like, okay, you like the bootleg games? Fuck you. We're checking your shit every 24 hours. Well, and it'll inconvenience you, but people that actually pay for that shit all the time, it won't hurt them at all.
Well, it's like when the music industry started shutting down some of the sites you would download music from, and people were mad. And I was one of those people. I was mad too, but then I was like, well, look, I can't be too mad because I'm not paying for this shit.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Like, well, I do hate them for it. I'm like, well, I got to find some other way of doing it.
And I guess for me, from a standpoint, I kind of appreciate it because you're kind of weeding out the bums. You're kind of weeding out the people, like Roger said, when you play them online, they'll cut the game off and do that stupid shit. So you're kind of weeding, I guess, those people out so you can have a better gaming experience.
Now, Aaron, man, what do you think about the shit, man? Like, I know you get kind of bit a big...
I'm not a fan of them not taking into account certain. I want to see what they do when they're faced with the cries of people who just don't have internet, people who are, say, like at the end of a hurricane, you don't have internet for a week and a half. Like, it's going to rear their head. They're going to have to adjust this plan.
Yeah, and I wonder
what they're going to have to do. But they're going. This is not going to stand for long in the face of like what happened. Like, apparently, since America gets superstorm, we get super weather. We don't, it's not 90 degrees, it's 125 degrees. We don't get tornadoes. We get 5 of them at once and it destroys Oklahoma. So at some point, there are things like that happen where a chunk of our country is going to have no internet, and then we're going to be like, whoa,
Normally, those people wouldn't have power either. So the Xbox wouldn't be able to ping itself to check if it didn't have internet. So I don't think that would be too much of an issue. You know what I mean?
I will say this. I do wonder what is the thing that happens when your shit doesn't check in X amount of days? Cause remember, all your shit's on your hard drive. Does your shit just go like, you can't access your own shit? Like, I just want to know what is the thing? Like, cause they keep saying that, well, it's going to check every 24 hours. Okay. But what happens when that doesn't
happen?
Just tell me that. If it's nothing, then it's nothing, you know. Maybe it's nothing and that's the problem, is they don't want to say, well, and then nothing, then you guys can keep playing. But like, that might be the shit. I don't know, but I would like to know before I buy one, is you know, what would happen.
Like, hey, notice your internet wasn't on, just wanted to see if you're okay.
Right. We send you an email and we ask, is everything all right? But other than that, We're not playing, guys. Don't pirate shit, please. What about this mandatory connect thing? It's always on. It's going to be connected to your Xbox. Some people are saying there's ways to turn it off, like the hard turn it off, like unplug it from the wall and shit. We bought a Kinect not too long ago. It just came with the Xbox that they had in stock. Mm-hmm. We hooked it up. We really don't play it that often, really don't use it that much, but it pretty much is always on as far as if my Xbox is on.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't really care. Like, for me personally, I see myself in that little corner camera, and other than thinking I need to lose some weight and get my life together, I don't really give a fuck. Like, that's it. It's just like, okay, all right, well.
Wait a minute. I'm real confused. People complain that the Kinect has to always be on?
Yeah, no. Because this is going to be the way that a lot of people turn their Xbox on. Well, Microsoft is envisioning that you walk in the house and go, Xbox on, mm-hmm. Netflix, you know,
but
like that.
Kinect's got to be
That
on.
Can't happen unless your Kinect is at least listening that's all the time.
Right.
So that's why they're like, it's going to always be on, and people are kind of upset because they don't want to be monitored or whatever.
I like it being included. It saves you money. Why could you buy, let's say the system is $600, now I gotta spend an extra $100 for a Kinect, combine it and cut the cost.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Chris?
I remember watching it happen on the internet when like all the nerds really just got their panties in the twist, and somebody read the terms and conditions of the Kinect, and it says, hey, listen, if you do any illegal shit in front of the Kinect, the police can get that recording to prosecute you.
The current Kinect?
Exactly. It can happen right now. But the way they worded it was with the new Xbox. But it can happen, like, this shit can happen to you right now.
Wow.
If you do some illegal shit, you're, you know, and the police want, they can call Microsoft and get that recording. Just like they could call, you know, your cell phone provider if you were having a cell phone call and get that. You know what I mean?
Well, what's weird is that Microsoft is saying that if the camera and microphone will not record or upload your conversations.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. I'm guessing it means like if it's already recording for something else, like if you're playing a video game or you're uploading footage or something and it just happens to get caught while it's online, I guess.
Yeah, that's what I'm guessing. And they also said, I think Thursday when they announced the, you know, the used game stuff and all that, that you can turn the Kinect off, because I don't know what kind of Xbox you guys have, but the slim Xboxes, when you plug the Kinect in there, it doesn't go into the wall. It just powers directly from the Xbox itself.
Mm-hmm.
So they were like, you won't need to cut the Kinect off, like unplug it, but you can turn it off in its settings like you can do in your Xbox 360 settings. And at its low power state, it only listens for the phrase Xbox on, and that's it. And if you want, you can also turn that off so it's never listening.
Yeah, it's weird too, because like, I'll have a conversation with a friend in the living room, and I'll have my TV on like cable. And my Xbox will just be on in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll, you know, they leave and then I'm like, oh, let me turn on my video game. And it'll be like Bing searching for something. It'll be like Bing search for rutabaga by the bus. Hey girl, no food, car driving fast. It's like, wait, what? I didn't. Oh, it recorded it. It just heard my conversation and thought that I wanted it to search something. But so I guess it's kind of already doing some of the stuff, but according to Microsoft is that it's not recording you and it's not publishing it anywhere, but and it, you'll be able to turn it off and all this stuff, but I kind of want it on. I want to be able to tell my Xbox to turn on.
Me too.
I really just wanted to be able to understand who's in the room and who's not in the room by speaking, because I've seen people get mad, you know, they'll watch a movie on Netflix and start controlling their TV. But, like, for me, I don't know if you guys have your Kinect plugged in and you play NBA 2K13, but if you curse with that Kinect plugged in, you'll get a technical foul.
Yeah, that's what I hear. I hear.
And,
That's awesome.
No, it's not. Because awesome. I listen to the Insanity Check and I listen to the Blackout Tips. They're fucking playing my game and one of you niggas will curse and then the game stops, like, you got a technical foul.
Yeah. Wait till you hear tomorrow's episode.
Right. You should never told us this, dog.
I guarantee Xbox Off is happening at some point tomorrow. I'm definitely going Xbox Off real loud. I'm just throwing that into like five different times in the show. I'm just throwing out random Xbox Offs to see who gets pissed and who doesn't. But
you turned my game off in the middle. I almost had him here. I almost killed him.
Right. But seriously though, man, I do kind of feel like, honestly, as much ado about nothing, because at the end of the day, you're either going to get it or you're not. And I feel like it's something to complain about, but it's not a real issue that people are going to be like, I won't buy an Xbox because it has a Kinect already on it and it may hear a conversation at some point. Unless it's going to really take a scandal. It'll take somebody being like, this dude got arrested because he was selling drugs in his house and Xbox heard him. And then people will be like, oh, well, fuck this shit. It's gone, you know?
No, it's not even going to be that. They're going to be like, oh, man, it sucks for him. All right, so what's the new Call of Duty come out? they're still not getting up for that, yo. They're still not going
to
do that.
Yeah, it's really odd to see, especially since you don't have, nobody's forcing you to buy the Xbox One. So if you don't want this shit, don't get it. Not to mention, the PlayStation 4 is coming with the PlayStation I, which is their version of Kinect, and it's doing the same shit. So,
oh, by the way, can I give props to PlayStation? They are so smart. They just ain't singing shit right now. And it is the smartest strategy I've ever seen. It's really like watching, you know, those guys who are like, you need to be honest with your girl. Tell her everything. And it's like that dude is talking to his girl when you're both at a dinner date together. It's like a couple's date. And he's like, baby, I looked at a woman in yoga pants today and I felt so ashamed and I just thought I would tell you. And she's just getting madder and madder and all this shit. He's like, but I'm being honest, baby. I just want you to know. I remember when I told you I had to work overtime. I really just went to the bar, had an extra beer, watched the game with my boys, and then I came home, and she's like, what the fuck? And you're just like, I did all this shit with him. I'm not saying shit. And your girl is fine. That's how PlayStation is playing this. Their girl is like, I love you, baby, and everything's okay. Now, did he do the same shit? We won't find out till E3 if he's doing the same shit. But the point being, I scoured for Sony news, and it was all like shit that doesn't hurt your feelings at all.
Have you heard them say anything besides, we make video games and we like our fans? Thanks, guys.
That's it.
Yeah, they're talking about shit, and it's so hilarious.
It's amazing, dude. Even at this point, if they come out at E3 and just like, maybe this is what Xbox's strategy is to get all the bad shit out of the way and then try to have a good E3 with a bunch of like video games and footage and announcements. And then Sony has to do the, oh yeah, we kind of do that too. But I still feel like even if Sony comes out and says we do exactly what Xbox is doing, people aren't going to be as mad. Cause it's like, we kind of heard this through Xbox. So, it just sucks that you guys didn't decide to like buck the trend, but okay. You know? Yeah.
That's what I think it is. Like, you know, Microsoft came out with their showcase, like, what, 2 weeks ago. We get E3 next week, and they said E3 is about the games.
Yeah.
And Sony still has to make it about the console and the games. So it's like, we're not going to see everything. Like, Microsoft really just come up there and just show us games for 2 hours straight. Like, that shit's cool. Ain't that shit cool? That shit's cool. And with Sony, it's like, listen to our console for an hour and a half, and here's one game. Nah, man.
Those Xbox exclusives better be good.
Yes, sir.
Because they got some unannounced original titles, and I think Aaron was saying some shit that really, for the first time, made me go, he's right. I wouldn't be excited about that at all. It's like, it could be Kinect shit and arcade shit.
You know some of those are.
They pad their stats so hard. If you ever, their official word was, we've got over 90 exclusive titles, and half of those things are like Avengers games for fucking Kinect and Star Wars this and Xbox Live Arcade game, and then you guys got 9. Shut the fuck up, you have 9.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Do you know how much, I have not played that game that comes with my Kinect. Like, that's the shit you have on your shelf just in case. You like have a party or something like that.
Ours is still in the plastic too.
Yeah, I feel like GameStop is so full of those that it's just the entire back stock room is just trash.
They don't take them as trade-ins anymore.
I can imagine.
They take them as trade-ins and they sell them for $1.
Yeah, they make you pay them money. It's like, yeah, man, I want to trade this in. That'll be $10. No, you give me. You give me $10.
That's our recycle fee, yo.
Yeah, exactly. Another thing, and this, now actually this I thought was savvy on Xbox's part. It's also underhanded as fucked up as shit. They're not the ones who are going to charge you for selling or buying used games.
Oh yeah, I heard about this.
Yeah.
They pawned it off onto the actual game publishers and they're pretty much going to put both arms up in the air, shrug, and go, take it up with him. That's so fucked up.
Yeah, that's Sony's game plan also. They said that back in February. And you know, like, I saw it, I was like, yeah, that's fucked up. But it's smart because then they won't catch the blame or whatever. And you know all publishers are still going to do this. Like, they're all going to charge you the fee. As soon as EA got rid of the online pass, I'm like, nah, you don't just throw away money. If they're getting rid of this online pass, something more fucked up is about to come.
And the thing I want to know is what I want to see, because like I said, video game market is the closest thing we actually have to a free market in America. I want to see who's going to be the first publisher to go, nah, we're not charging shit.
I think it'd be the smaller developers, not like High Moon, but like even smaller than that, in places like, Valve, that makes like the Orange Box games and Half-Life shit like that. Companies that super, like, really, really love their fans. I think they'll not do it.
I'd like to see, cause do you guys remember when, there were two NFL franchises?
Yeah.
And that 1 year that NFL 2K was like, the game's only $20. Go get it.
Yep.
And fucked up everything.
It was better than Madden exponentially. And $20, and then EA did the limit break and blew everything up, and there was no more competition. Fuck this.
Right.
Fuck it.
Like, that was the scariest EA has ever. They've been an evil empire since then. It's just like, we buy anything that looks competitive. It's like, what is that? What are you making? That's ours now.
And I think the thing with me with the EA is just fucked up because it took NFL 2K for Madden to improve. The improvements that Madden did, they would not have even tried or attempt to do it if it wasn't for the challenge.
Yeah. Well, hold on. I'm getting an echo again. Hold on one second. I think it might be Sterling. Hold on. Hey, Sterling, I'm going to call you right back.
All right.
Yeah, that was weird. All right, maybe
that's just the way I see it. It's like they force you to improve. You go, nah, we don't want to improve.
No, yeah. They have the it's a Disney method of, oh, wait, you guys are doing something better than us? All right, we're going to buy you. So, we're going to buy you and assimilate you like the Borg. Yeah.
That's pretty much what they've been doing now. It's just buy shit. So, and then the last thing was, actually, you know what? I'm going to save the everything you can do with used games for next week because that's just a clusterfuck of shit that I don't understand exactly. And the one thing I know about that policy is it shouldn't be that hard to understand. So that's definitely, I gotta take that as a loss for Microsoft. Like, if your policy can't be clearly iterated as, yes or no, it's already more complicated than it needs to be for most people who are going to play the games. You can play it, 10 different people can play it on one console, but if you go to your cousin's house, then you have to check in every hour and then you can play it there. But if he logs in and tries to play it, then you have to gift it to him. You can only do that once. You have to be friends for 30 days first. It's like, okay, we'll talk about this next week. That's too complicated.
Yeah. They really are running the risk of making my games a little too complicated for me to just buy. I'll still have one, and mm-hmm. I'll still be on Skype and still doing things, but it'll make buying a game require too much thought for me because I'm old.
Right. Yeah. And some of the aspects of it seem hella cool. Like, so I can just give Aaron my login and he can play my shit. Yeah. No, he doesn't have to be here. No, he can just play the shit. Or I can just give him a copy of my game. Yeah, just let him borrow it. Just he's one of the 10 people. It's like, well, that is pretty awesome. He didn't got to pay shit. Like, how does that work? But then it's like, well, there's also a 30-day policy. You can do this once every year. It's like, wait a minute.
Right.
This sounds fucked up now. I don't know what you're talking about. PS4 will debut below $400, says analyst. That's right, guys.
Who is analyst?
Of course, we all know about Stern Aggies. Arvind Bhatia, he's one of those analysts. Comes up on the show every week. Ooh. And he says it's gonna be below $400. So
he don't know. He making this up.
Well, he's an analyst, Karen.
That don't mean that he don't work for Sony.
He said in a note to investors today ahead of next week's Electronic Expo. He said Sony was negatively impacted by launching the PlayStation 3 at extremely high $600.
Yeah, they thought people were going to pay that.
And it won't repeat this pricing. So given that experience, we believe Sony will aim to keep the price point for PlayStation 4 below $400.
Oh, that can't be. No.
Did they take the Blu-ray out?
I just, by the way, that's an article I picked just for that response.
that doesn't make any sense. How the reason why the Sony failed at $600 is because this system had no launch titles.
Right.
It didn't have any games. It was a Blu-ray player, and it didn't have any games. They didn't have any online infrastructure or anything.
Or any Blu-ray titles to watch on.
Exactly.
Nope. Yeah.
There were like 3 Blu-ray movies when that shit came out. Like, the only thing that was good was it was a $600 Blu-ray player that you could play games on. The only problem was there was no movies and or games.
Yeah.
So everybody's got Xboxes instead.
GameStop, their shares rose, even after the Xbox One reports about, they were going to control the used game market. So GameStop keeps winning. That's all you can take from that story.
They need to take that money and make their website better.
those motherfuckers got to be evil or something, because they really are like, we got to close stores, guys. Okay. The game market is hard. And we are struggling. You're like,
really? Are struggling selling you video games we did not make, we did not develop, we did not pay not a single person at EA
right.
Sports.
You're like, but how do you lose money? Because I buy the game from you for $60. I beat the game. I sell it back to you for $10. You sell the game for $54.95.
Yep. That's how they make all their money. It's the game. They don't make anything new. They're really just like EA. Like, I used to work for them, and remember, we used to have shit like Funko Land Softworks that were Babbage's, in America. GameStop bought all of that shit. And now they're just doing it worldwide.
Yeah, like, and the two,
that's the threat, they just take it.
And the two, like, reports that we read from them were like, in the same week, it was like, GameStop reports record fourth quarter and GameStop closes 200 stores because they can't get a profit margin. I was like, I don't, something doesn't make sense,
no,
man.
No, it does not.
So, and then Xbox and PlayStation are like, hey, we're kind of thinking about maybe charging people to buy games. And then they're like, we recorded a sharp increase in our stock. I'm like, what makes sense there? All right, last story before we do this review. G4, the TV station, is now relaunching as the Esquire Network, which is going to be about fashion and all this shit.
I miss G4.
And I just gotta say, I think I was, maybe me, Sterling, and Karen were the only people watching G4.
I guess so. That was my station.
Yeah, I still have the last episode of Attack of the Show on my DVR. I won't get rid of it.
Yeah.
That and X-Play were my shit.
X-Play, oh my god.
Yeah, it's gonna be about cooking, travel shows, and professional horse race handicappers.
I got Food Network and the Cooking Channel for that bullshit.
And about American breweries. So
that is wonderful for them.
We have no
It reruns Late Night with Jimmy Fallon and Parks and Rec.
You know what? You know, it's partly my fault too, people like me, because I used to watch G4 a lot and I haven't recently, so yeah.
Well, no, this has been going down for a while.
Yeah.
Like, they announced that they were going to become the Esquire Network last May,
mm-hmm.
or so, because what the dude that made Attack of the Show, he left in May. It didn't say why. And then Adam Sessler left X-Play and went to Revision 3.
Yeah.
And nobody was talking about it. And then, like, in September, they say, you know, X-Play and Attack of the Show are closing. And then they were like, yeah, Esquire Network, get over it.
All right.
We have cops marathons.
All right. I gotta review these Bioshock games. People been waiting for weeks. All right.
Yeah.
I played all three Bioshock games. I haven't played all the DLC for number two yet. But I gotta say, man.
Well, you didn't? Oh. That DLC is extremely good.
Okay. But I bought it, and I will be playing it soon.
You got it.
Yeah. But listen, these are the most depressing games I've ever played in my goddamn life.
They ain't scary to me.
You don't beat a Bioshock game, it beats you. It beats your soul and everything it took to do. Every ending is just like, all the shit you just did was just because everything's fucked up for you anyway. Like, it's good though, because the atmosphere is really good. It draws you in. The stories are, I think, superb. The voice acting is really well done. But the two issues I have, so fucking depressing. Every game ends with, like, you have no hope.
Well, Bioshock 1, when you saved all the little girls, they were like, and you're the greatest dad in the world, and they didn't say anything else, so I'm assuming the rest of the sentence was, and you have no hope, greatest dad, but they didn't say it, and it's good, right?
Nah, it had this feeling of like, end of the first one, don't you beat it by turning into a big daddy?
It has a couple endings, so it depends on what ending you got.
Yeah, I beat it by turning into a fucking big daddy.
Yeah, you're not mindless. You're just a big daddy. You just go through the whole process and learn about it, but you don't get your mind wiped.
But I don't want to be a big daddy. I want to be a person. And that shit didn't come back off. It wasn't like, oh, and then you take off the helmet. By the end, when they talked to me, I was like, and I was like, do I fucking sound like a big daddy now? Man. Anyway, so that was depressing, because I didn't want to be a fucking drill-handed big daddy that can only go around protecting these little girls. And then the other thing I will say that, and I don't know if everybody will agree with this or not, but I think the shooting mechanics are fucking stupid.
And which one? I'd argue all of them. Actually, you're absolutely right, yeah.
I think all of the shooting mechanics in all three games are fucking stupid.
You know what's funny is that's my problem with Bioshock Infinite. Bioshock 1 and 2 had so many moving parts, specifically Bioshock 1, where you had all the powers and you had all the doodads and all these little minigames. So you can make the world fight for you because the gunplay wasn't... You were kind of a dude with a gun.
Yeah.
Normal dude. So, and you can make the world fight for you. And then something like Bioshock Infinite is like an impossible white man game, but the gunplay isn't that great. So it's not that much fun to just run around shooting guys as super white dude.
Yeah, that was my issue. Like, I actually had to turn the first two games when I went back to play them. I actually had to turn it on easy, not because I'm not skilled, but seriously because it was like, this is a clumsy ass interface.
Yep.
So,
not only that, but if I remember correctly, the weapons aren't actually as powerful as they should be.
Agreed.
Depends. Bioshock 1 and 2, you had to game the system. So if you had the right bullets, you could kill a human being in one shot. Or you kill him at 15 if you're fucking up. You know what I mean?
True.
In Bioshock Infinite, you just encounter bullet sponges and you just stand in front of them shooting them until they pass out.
Right.
Pass out. But yeah, man. So like the first one I think was my favorite of the series because the twist at the end was cool. But also like the voice acting and the atmosphere, and for people that own like those Turtle Beach headphones, definitely the best sound design I've ever heard.
That shit was so creepy, man. I remember I would sit back because I'm like a game watcher, so a lot of times I know how games go just from watching Roger play. Never played him a game in my a day in my life. And I remember when Roger had first seen the Big Daddies, he was like stuck in something. And like this dude was behind, he was like in this container. I don't know what kind of container it was. And this dude was talking and this big ass thing came in there and like killed him and shit like that. And I looked at him like, dog, you got to go fight that. What the fuck is going on here? That shit looks scary.
Yeah. Yeah. Sound design is tremendous though.
Yeah. And see, I
can't fade that dude. Like you hear shit coming from like in the distance and you get scared because you're like, am I going to have to kill whatever that was? And, like, you'll just be, like, in one room, but you can hear shit from, like, three rooms away.
Yeah.
And it's just a person being like, oh, I'm gonna kill you when I get my hands on you. Ha ha ha. You turn around like, what was that? And it's like, nothing. Nothing.
By the way, that was one of the greatest things about Bioshock 1 is that you were almost like a pseudo murderer. Cause the people there, they weren't as crazy. They didn't know who you were. They were just some crazy folks. You didn't necessarily, they weren't henchmen. They were just people, so you'd just be walking around, so they'd be like, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, hey you! Ah! And they run at you with a fucking wrench, and you just defend yourself, and that's it. And that's it. That dude was not a henchman, he was a dude, and you killed him, and there's something about a whole city full of people like that that really sits with you, you know?
Yeah, I agree, man. Chris, were you about to say something?
No, I was gonna, back to what you said before about the depressing nature of those games. That's actually why I haven't played Infinite again in a while. Because I like the game, but I'm still kind of depressed from it.
Dude, and the fucked up thing about Infinite, and obviously we're spoiling everything. The fucked up thing about Infinite is that you really do have a weird, like, is this my love interest or what vibe for like 97% of the game?
Right.
And then it's like, that's actually your daughter, you sick fuck. And you're like, what? I was just, what did she, why was she wearing,
And then they go, oh, and by the way, you're coughed up.
Right.
Fuck you. It's like, fuck me, man. Like
remember how you were, it's like, remember when you were looking at her hand wondering what happened? It was you, you dickhead.
You wouldn't have the thumb? You.
Yeah. Yeah, by the end of that game, you were basically okay with them killing you.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, yeah, I fucked up.
I have a question. Did something happen after the end, after they put you in the water? Because I walked away. Like, at the end of the game, I was just like, yeah, you know what this is about, right? And I literally threw my controller on the bed and wanted to get some food. I was like, ah, that's right. I didn't see anymore. If there's more to this, I don't need to see it.
There was a scene where you're it's black and white, and you're back in the apartment, and you open the door to a baby crying, and then they fade to black.
Yeah.
Okay, that's wonderful. That's good. Yes, very, very depressing.
Very depressing, man. Like, these games are depressing. They're well done. That, you know, like I said, the shooting mechanics need a little work, but I understand I feel like if a developer for them was here, they'd go, well, we don't want you using shooting everything.
Yeah, well, remember remember System Shock 1 and 2? Those are like the spiritual successors to Bioshock. Those were RPGs where you had a gun, but it was in your best interest to use everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like that now. So that's where it's from, is they want you can use a gun. But the game would much prefer if you just used everything in the world to try and make whatever gun you had in your hand work way better than it does, because you can't just walk around like Rambo. At least in the Bioshock Infinite, where you do walk around like Rambo with a Disney character.
Yeah.
But I see it here and there.
But yeah, and then the third one, Bioshock Infinite, best color, most colorful one. You know, very, I actually enjoyed the varied types of enemies. I didn't feel the same level of challenge though with the idea of like, well, this guy does this thing and the best way to take him down is this strategy.
Yeah, they don't have that. Yeah.
It felt more like shoot, run, shoot, run. Like the other games.
You got a bullet. Here you go.
Yeah, the other game felt a little more stealthy and like, okay, there's water here, there's gasoline here. If I ignite my powers this way, then I throw some bees at them, and then I could throw fire at them. And it, like, I had more like, oh, and I'll take over this turret and stuff like that. And this game was, and then Bioshock Infinite, it felt like they took out the stealth really.
Mm-hmm.
Cause it felt like enemies just sensed me. Like, I would just walk around a corner and they just turn around like, there he is. Like, well, how did you know that? I'm fucking creeping.
They're all connected via text message or something. As soon as one guy went down, they all got a text message. Turn around, it's Booker. And I'm like, all right, wait,
okay.
And they all just ran.
Yeah, they had the NSA. They were tracking you, man. It's like, oh, no, sorry. We got this shit in 1920. Oh, you forgot the racism, though.
Yeah. Oh, now that
the racism
that
was top of the line
is what puts Bioshock Infinite back in my good graces. Because I will say this, I pretty much forgave every flaw in that video game strictly off of, let's talk about some racism.
Right.
That was it. Now, I didn't appreciate the later levels when they got away from racism and they did this false equivalency bullshit.
Oh, my God. That's why I turned on it. I was like, really? So the oppressed are just as bad as the oppressors.
Yeah.
So they turned, I forgot what her name, what was the lady's name? Daisy Fitzroy, right?
Yeah.
They turned her into a bloodthirsty murderer in like 5 seconds. Yeah. I'm like, well, all right then. Okay.
That was bullshit.
I
was not a big fan of the but isn't all killing bad? Like, no, not the righteous killing of those who've been victimized. Absolutely not. That's actually fine with me. And they could have, you know what? And it would have been absolutely fine if they would have just been like, well, it's not that all killing is bad. It's just that Daisy Fitzroy now wants to kill you too.
Right.
That's all you got to do. You don't have to actually make her like, you know, an angel or anything. Just be like, yeah, she decided that her story was better without you in it. So you're gonna die now. Also great voice acting again in Infinite. But I was not a big fan of the gunplay. And the racism was some of the best best racism I've ever seen starting that game out. Like when you have to pick to throw the apple at the people.
Yes.
Or throw the apple at the guy who's trying to make you like, or throw, what is it? Baseball, throw the baseball at the guy who's making you do it. I got to ask everybody, what'd you do? Sterling.
Oh, I threw it at the fucking announcer.
What about you, Chris?
Same thing.
What about you, Aaron?
First of all, I'd like to know the names and addresses of the person that did throw the apple at the black people. What the fuck are you doing?
Let me tell you something. I threw the apple at the black people. You're talking to the guy, man. I threw that shit, and now they don't let you hit them, and they don't let you throw it. Because, like, as soon as you go to throw it, they look at your hand. But I wanted to see what would happen. I was like, would this shit let me be racist? I feel like this game is going... I felt like that game was so fucking real with it. They would let me be racist. And I wanted to see them do it. I was looking at Bioshock like, I fucking dare you. If this fucking baseball hits these black people, this shit is going back to GameStop today. That shit grabbed my arm and was like, it's him. I was like, okay, nice save. Nice save, buddy.
Yo, man, the racism in that game, man, is just, it catches you off guard and you're like, I love the fact that they made this shit.
Yeah, dude, when you find that first audio, whatever, recording, and it's of the black janitor, and he's like, these crackers crazy. I was like, oh, that's what I would say.
Did you ever encounter a dude in the hallway where he's muttering to himself? He's like, in my word, these people keep me in this case of servitude forever, and at some point I'm going to get off of this. Oh, excuse me, up, sorry, damn. Sorry.
Yes!
You know how we do.
Yes, it was top of the line.
I looked at that dude for 5 minutes. I was like, I just wanted to touch him. I was like, can I use, is there another button on the controller? Can I touch his shoulder?
Right.
I don't even want to interact with him. I don't want to get him in trouble, but I just want him to know that I know. That the guy holding the controller is black.
Like, yeah. There's that one dude too, and that tells you not to go in a colored bathroom and shit.
Right.
He's like, "Don't go in there." I'm like, "Oh shit, what's going on?"
Oh, and then when you go to like the Hall of Heroes, and like they have the racism for the, like, it's not just black people racism. It's like black people racism for the Native Americans,
Asians.
All this shit. It's like, yo, the Asians. I was like, oh, this is fucking awesome. It's like, yeah. we're all niggers to them.
Yeah, it was so great, man. Even the rest of the United States was niggas to that town.
Even the rest.
They were so fucking cocksure that they were right, that they were like, put balloons on our city and we're going to treat it like up. Fuck these motherfuckers. Oh, God. Such a great, like I said, great storylines in all these games, man.
I got a question. That's one thing that's always bugging me about Bioshock Infinite. Since you, in Bioshock 1, you fight Bioshock 1 and 2, you fight superhumans and overdosed on superhero juice. Mm-hmm. In Bioshock Infinite, superhero juice is just sitting there like Coca-Cola, and nobody drinks that shit but two characters in the whole fucking game. Why is that? That bugs the fuck out of me. Why isn't everyone have, especially if you are destroying shit. If you're the dude and you've killed 30 people in an hour, every cop should be throwing back the superhero juice, but they're just sitting there with crates of it all over the place just for you.
That is just a great, that is an absolutely great point. Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
I don't understand why doesn't everyone have superpowers? It should be like Marvel vs. Capcom towards the end of the game. Every single person you encounter should be flying with fireballs because you've obviously
I gotta be honest, I'm glad they didn't do that, because that last fucking battle,
holy
fuck
shit.
That battle.
Mm. Nigga.
Fuck that battle. Fuck it, no.
That battle was so stupid.
Yes, burn that battle with fire. That shit, I played that shit so many times, it was just like, oh, I didn't even see that guy there, and okay.
Oh, that's another thing I didn't like about the game. I had to put it on easy because the game decided that I, even though I can eat 17 apples, I can't hold 17 apples, even though my dude has 7 pockets.
Yeah. Yes!
So, once the game said to me, you can't hold an health item in reserve, I was like, then I'm going to have to turn you to easy. And he was like, all right then. And that was where we stood. Because I didn't understand. Bioshock is a game where the fight can go wrong like that. You're like, oh, and all of a sudden they go, it's a behind you, Booker, and you turn around and there's an enemy right behind you, punches all your health off, and then you die.
Right.
Don't ever play 1999 mode.
That's what I was about to say. Oh, I fucking tried it. I tried it, and I stopped. I just turned the Xbox off, like, fuck it.
And yeah, the thing is, it doesn't say anything about your competence as a game player.
Nope.
You know, it's pretty much just a rough shooter, man. It's rough. Okay. But, all right. So I would, you know, basically I'm just going to sum up the whole series and say definitely worth playing. Honestly, the series, other than the first two have a lot to do with each other. And then the third kind of has nothing to do with the first two.
Right.
Like there's a brief,
the very end.
Yeah. There's a brief little like, and
I like how they allude to the fact that they're like, all video games exist in this world. Like they should be like, you walk in and you come out of a pipe in Mario, like there's a man. And there's a prize, and there's a world, and there's Mario, and there's a man, right. And there's a prize, and there's a world, and there's Sonic.
That would be awesome.
Like, all games apparently exist on this plane. Like, they find the video game singularity and discuss everything.
That would have been so dope.
Right.
That's how Wreck-It Ralph should end, you know? Just, it's me, you're Mario. It's like, oh, shit, and Sonic. I'm like, oh, this is cool. But yeah, it's definitely worth playing, I would say if you play number one, you almost have to play two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But if you haven't played either of the first two, or if you've only played one of the first two, go ahead and skip forward to Infinite. Cause it really doesn't have shit to do with the other two. So that's what I was waiting on, was like, oh, I need to play all these. And then after I played them in the reverse order, I was like, and I didn't need to play any of these. I could have just played whatever order I wanted to with Bioshock Infinite. So. Yeah. Anyway, man, this has been another episode of Nerd Off. Make sure you guys check all these guys out. Aaron Rand Freeman, you can find him at This Week in Blackness, everything. You can also find, Chris, he's at Insanity, Report on Twitter, his podcast, The Insanity Check. And Sterling, man, you have a podcast that you never fucking talk about. What, can you give me some info on this?
Yeah, it's something called Gamers United. I'm a co-host on it. Basically, we just talk about mainly gaming and any other nerd shit we really feel like about two times a month.
Okay.
On Stitcher and iTunes.
Dope, man. I'm going to check it out and make sure you put a link in Skype and I'll add it to our, you know, to where when I put Chris and Aaron's website, I'll put yours on there too.
Cool. No problem.
But yeah, and Karen, do you have anything to promote?
Yes, I like to promote my show, which has nothing to do about nerding, but if you're a nerd, you eat. It's called Lip Smacking Good, so you can come over here and smack your lips with me and have a good time.
I feel like a pretty solid promotion there. Everybody got to eat.
I got one thing to say.
Yes.
One thing to say. Man of Steel, niggas.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Tuesday. I can see Tuesday. That's all. That's all.
Does it come out on Thursday? Because for some reason, everybody is like Thursdays now versus Fridays.
Yeah, I've been seeing a lot of Thursday 7 o'clock shows.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to see it for sure. I can't wait. I'm excited about it.
Me too.
I just want to say right now, because I probably won't be able to be on Nerd Off next week or the week after next.
Yeah.
I just want to go ahead and say now that if this movie is as good as I think it's going to be, that people can no longer, like, we always say how Superman's lame now. After this movie comes out, you'll never be able to say Superman's lame.
I hope you're right.
I hope you're right.
You'll be able to be like, but Man of Steel. And people are going to have to shut up.
Well, I hope
people,
you're right.
People blame Superman's lame or people blame writing? I think Superman can be well written. I just think the writers are scared of going in any direction.
Yeah, Superman's lame because he's usually written lame and that's all they know. And so they don't see things like, what was the last one? Superman versus the Elite or some shit like when Superman goes off.
Yeah.
Like, I saw some of these trailers and TV spots. It looks like a Man of Steel. Superman and Zod, well, they almost destroy Metropolis with their fight.
That's what I need from him.
Right, nigga, I'm down.
I need my Superman. I need people to be scared of Superman because he's so fucking powerful. But need him to be their hero because whatever they're fighting is so fucked up.
Right.
That's the right balance for Superman. No more of this. He's just a nice guy with a really coiffed a great cut of hair.
Them other ones have been so horrible.
Yeah, I want people to be like, they're Superman. Nobody move. That's how most people would be if a dude was flying and able to like throw a fucking container ship into the ocean with one hand. We would all be like, don't piss that guy off.
Ain't that the truth?
And no one acts like that in Metropolis. It's just like, it's Superman! Yeah! Like, I would be like, oh no, it's Superman, dude, run.
I would pay a Superman tax just to fund him, just to live. Right. Like, wherever he happens to live, I'd give a dollar out of everything I make just to, you know.
Right. Because that's how it's supposed to be. Like, when you see Superman, he's about to fight somebody, like, oh shit, she's about to fall from the sky. Like, buildings about to blow up. I gotta get to my house and get to my bunker. Because you don't want to be just sitting out because Superman's there. It's like some shit's going down when Superman shows up.
The best portrayal I've seen of Superman thus far on TV or film is The Dark Knight Returns 2.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about Superman. Scared as shit.
Mm-hmm.
Glad he's on our side. Please stay the fuck away from me.
Right. Shut down the city with him. They shut down a city, like an entire city block for him and Batman to fight. It's like, that's what it has to be, yo, because if there's anybody alive around there, they might die. Fuck that.
Dude. He died and sucked the earth life. Cause
right.
Like, that's the most impossible white man shit I've ever seen in anything. He just died and was like, earth, give me your life. Bye. I'm back now.
Like, I'm back, bitches.
Yeah. He took like 2 weeks off and was 100% again. That's insane. All right, man. Well, look, thanks guys for listening. We'll see you guys again on the Blackout Test Premium Selection Podcast. Signing off for everybody to Nerd Off. Peace.